Would you pray with me? Loving God, thank you for your word that we have heard again. A word that has been shouted through the ages, that your Son has risen. And we pray that those words may be believable to our hearts and minds, and that our lives may live that out. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. A mother called up her son, who was a newly ordained Catholic priest. And she asked him if he was busy, and he said no. And she says, I want to make a complaint. With a sigh, he goes, what is it, Mom? She said, how come when I go to a funeral anymore, they talk like everybody goes to heaven? The son said, well, Mom, suppose everybody did go to heaven, and those who never liked heavenly things on earth will find heaven to be a hell of a disappointment. The son challenged his mother's perception of death, of the resurrection, of heaven. And in doing so, hopefully, or maybe he broke her mind open to new ideas, new thoughts. And I thought of that because, you know, we all come to this day, to Easter, with a lot of perceptions that we have grown up with over the years. We have our traditions. We have our family get-togethers. We have our ideas about what Easter is about. I remember my first church up in Western New York. And there was a woman in that church, and if we did not sing the Day of Resurrection on Easter Sunday, we heard about it. Easter kind of becomes almost natural. Almost natural about new life, baby chicks and eggs and the beginning of spring. It almost kind of becomes synonymous with the beginning of spring. And we lose something with that. It's a way of domesticating or spiritualizing Easter. We make it fit our ideas and our schedules, our sense of how things should be. With that in mind, I want to call you back to the very beginning of Luke's story of the resurrection. We heard, but on the first day of the week at early dawn, they came to the tomb. It wasn't just on the first day of the week at dawn they came to the tomb, but on the first day of the week. Now that's an odd use of that conjunction, but. And in Matthew's account of the resurrection, there's only one but. In Mark, there's two. But in these 12 verses of Luke, there are six. Luke is trying to say something here. Say something with this but. The Reverend Dr. Ted Wardlaw writes about this. It's as if Luke is grabbing us by the labels, stopping us in our tracks, and forcing us to acknowledge the fact that no matter what we've heard, we haven't heard the whole story yet. But on the first day of the week, in the world sense of things, everything ended 3 days later. But the resurrection is not about the world sense of things. It's about God's sense of things. Again, we have to understand the context. Jesus had challenged the Empire of Rome. Jesus had challenged the established religions of Rome and of Judaism. Judaism of that day. And he was put to death precisely because of this. He was put to death because he called the 5% who reveled in the luxury, the prestige, the financial, the political, the religious power to task. And he did this by standing up and giving voice to the other 95% who lived in abject poverty and had no hope of getting out of it. Jesus spoke truth to power, and temple and political authorities put him to death. And it is easy to understand. Why? Because to kill a movement, you chop off the head. Jesus was the head. The movement was dead. But on the first day of the week, something incredible happened. Something so unnatural that it seemed like an idle tale. The movement was alive again. The head had, in essence, grown back. William Willimon, the dean of a chapel of Duke University, in an Easter sermon said, "The angel plopped himself down on the stone in one final act of impotent defiance of death and the soldiers and all that, and said to the woman, 'Don't be afraid. You're looking for Jesus. He's not here.' And then that angel turned to the soldiers and said, 'Be afraid. Everything your world is built on is being shaken.' And nobody went home that day the same way they came. The power of Rome could not defeat the power of truth. The Roman Empire gave way to the kingdom of God. Philip Brooks, an Episcopal clergyman in the mid-late 1800s, once wrote, "Tomb, thou shalt not hold him longer. Death is strong, but life is stronger. Stronger than the dark, the light. Stronger than the wrong, the right. Faith and hope triumphant say, Christ will rise on Easter Day." This day, the day of resurrection, is the beginning of a new day. A new truth. The great Easter truth is not that we are to live newly after death. That's not the great thing. But that we are to be new here and now by the power of the resurrection. You all know the hymn, or most of you know the hymn, "O Master, Let Me Walk With Thee." The words were written by Washington Gladden. And in the original poem that he wrote, there were more lines than we have in our hymn. Some of those lines are, "O Master, let me walk with thee before the taunting Pharisee. Help me to bear the sting of spite, the hate of men who hide thy light. Teach me thy patience still with thee in closer, dearer company, in work that keeps faith sweet and strong, in trust that triumphs over wrong. In hope that sends a shining ray far down the future's broadening way. In peace that only thou canst give, with thee, O Master, let me live." Gladden was a big voice who campaigned against Boss Tweed of the Tammany Hall scandal. He was also opposed racial segregation back in the 1800s. The first resurrection gave power and hope to the masses. Yet, even in the beginning, it seemed to be only an idle tale. Which begs the question for us, how do we hear it today? Do we hear it as an idle tale? An idealistic, "Yeah, it would be nice, but..." Have we so domesticated this day that it's just as natural as the beginning of spring and it really doesn't awaken that much within us? Have we spiritualized it so that it speaks to our hope of life after the grave and doesn't really have much power for us now? As I listen to the news of the world, of our nation, of our state, all of the problems that are coming to head, it's easy to be discouraged, to say the empire has won. But every now and then, there's an Easter. There's a voice that speaks out, speaking truth to power. Do we hear those voices? Do we hear the echoes of Christ in their words, calling us to be there for all people? This table is for all people. You don't have to have a special invitation to be there. It's there for everyone. Christ is calling us to be there for all. Or is that just an idle tale? But on the first day of the week, how do you finish that story?